This topic that I want to share with you is a topic that is the question is very simple. And I would imagine in your lives, you've asked this question. A lot of you are counselors this summer, and I would imagine that your campers are asking this question also. They're either asking it, or they should ask it, or they will ask it, or you can ask it for them. And the question is this, and I think you know what the question is from the top of your source sheet. There's a source sheet over there. Yeah. Okay. And I know my time is limited, so I'm not going to be able to go through every single source, but I'll mention them so you'll know where we go, and I'll mention them so you'll at least, if you want, for further review, further learning, you have it in front of you. The question is very simple. My life is fine. It's great. Without the Beis HaMikdash. Without Mashiach. I have everything I need. Everything I want. I don't need Mashiach. We have amazing schools. We have amazing shuls. We have wonderful camps. You have beautiful families, beautiful communities, beautiful yeshivas and seminaries. There are more people learning Torah in the world today than at any other time.
You don't even have any excuse. Come on. Here.
Thank you very much. Oh, Yishakala, thank you.
Okay.
Than at any other time in the history of the world. When the Mishnah was written, when the Gemara was written, there are still more people learning Torah today than ever. So why do I need the Mashiach for? Why do I need the Beis HaMikdash? And the Beis HaMikdash, we mention the Beis HaMikdash all the time. Every single time we daven, every single time we bench, every single time we say Al HaMichya, at weddings, when I got married, we smashed a cup under the chuppah. And the Rav put ashes on my forehead where I wear my tefillin. I say I don't say you, because those of you who are not married, Emir Tzashem, long before you get married, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, and you're not going to need to smash a glass. It's not a part of the chuppah. You're not going to have to worry about that. But I did. And why? Why do I mention the Beis HaMikdash every time I dive in Shmon Esrei? Why do I need it? Why is it so central? What am I missing in this world? And I would like, with your permission, to share 7 things that I think we are missing because there is no Beis HaMikdash, because there is no Mashiach. 7 things that we may or may not know. 7 things that we want to be more aware of. Some of these are obvious, and I'm just going to bring them to the forefront that we can think about this year. Some of them are not so obvious, and I'm happy to share them with you. But I do need, and those of you who know me know that I like, I need to do a few introductions to this shiur. Introduction number 1 is that this is a work in progress. This is only, I don't remember, but before this summer, I've never given this shiur before. Each time I give it is a little bit tweaked because it's a work in progress for me. I myself am working on myself. And so it's a work in progress, and I'm asking you strongly to share your feedback with me. I have 7 things. You may think that there's only 6, or you may think 8, and I didn't mention. Here, the source sheet's over here if you guys want. So I'm asking for your feedback, and on the top of the page I have my phone number. On the top right is my WhatsApp. You can use that to say hello. You can use that. I send out Divrei Torah on WhatsApp. Please feel free to add. I'm happy to add you to one of the groups that I have. But I'm also asking you, give me feedback if I don't speak to you now. That is introduction number 1. Introduction number 2 is, this is not what you're supposed to do when you speak in public, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm not promising that every single one of the 7 is going to resonate with every single one of you. And that's fine. the Beis HaMikdash is so overwhelming, it's so all-encompassing, that I think there's something for everyone, but it's okay if not. It's okay if number three you don't connect with that, or number six, it's okay. I think that there's enough, and I think that to be sensitive to the things that we're missing are going to help us work on those things so that this year, when Tisha B'Av comes, it will not be a day of mourning. Yemirtz Hashem, long before you have children, when your daughter is lacing up her dancing shoes on the 9th of Av, you're going to go over to her and you're going to say, well, I'm going to speak in English, but obviously you'll be speaking in Hebrew. I'm going to say, you're going to say to them, you know, when I was younger, I remember in camp 2020, not 2021, I remember in 2020, we fasted on Tisha B'Av. And I remember that we weren't allowed to say hello to people. We sat on the ground, and your child's going to go, Ima, what are you talking about? The 9th of Av is the happiest day of the year. I'm telling you. And the problem is, ladies, if you didn't take selfies last Tisha B'Av, you missed the opportunity. But there's probably pictures online of what it was like before. So the goal is to undo that so that we can dance this coming Tisha B'Av and not Chas V'Shalom mourn again. That's introduction number two. Introduction number three is that on the top of your source sheet, it says, why are we waiting for Mashiach and mourning for the Beis HaMikdash? I'm going to tell you that on the top of my sheet, because it's my notes, I couldn't bring myself to prepare a shiur that was going to be outdated. And so I didn't want to write, why are we mourning for the Beis HaMikdash? Because I could have sworn by the time I came here, it wouldn't say, why are we waiting for Mashiach? Mine says, why did we wait for Mashiach? Because I really was expecting by today to not have to say, why are we? Like, I really wanted to give a history lesson. So I didn't, I'm not Zocha yet, but I will say that I don't have service in camp. So it's possible, my wife texted me that there's some big news in Israel, but I didn't check my phone also, so Yemirtz Hashem, this is a history lesson. An introduction, the last introduction. The shiur's going to be over before it starts if I do the introduction. Last introduction. I wear glasses. I haven't always worn glasses. My eyes were perfect, Baruch Hashem, and then they started changing without me realizing because the change was very slow. So it was a very gradual change. And I was walking in 9th grade in high school, Silver Spring, Maryland. I was in a hallway, and there was a guy at the other end of the hall who I could see there was a person, but I couldn't see who he was because he was just a blur. Fine. His name is Aaron. I still remember. It's very dramatic for me. So I couldn't see who he was. If I got closer, I could see who he was. And he yells out my name from the other side of the hallway. And at that moment, it hit me. I go, wait a second. If he can see me, that means I'm supposed to see him. But I can't see him. I went to the doctor, nearsighted. I go to the, whatever it's called, the optometrist, and I got glasses. I still remember to this day, and I was in, this is in 9th grade, and I was in 9th grade, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. So I remember walking out of the store. I still remember seeing a tree, and I said, I can't believe, it's so weird that you're able to see leaves, individual leaves in a tree. I didn't know you were supposed to be able to see that. No, you're going to think that I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. I just got used to a reality without even realizing it. I got used to a reality without even realizing it. And that's the last introduction. The only reason why we can ask the question, why do I need the Beis HaMikdash? Why do I need Mashiach? Is because you and I have been lulled. We have gotten used to a situation. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And the problem is that we all need glasses. We just don't realize it because we got used to, oh, I'm not supposed to see somebody that far away. I'm not supposed to be in the, I know it's a tree. It's green and brown. I'm not supposed to, I didn't realize that there's a whole glorious world, a Torah world, a spiritual world that I didn't realize and we don't realize. And so one of my goals, the goal, in these seven things is to give us all new glasses. To be able to look at the world and see the world way more clearly. It'll remind us why we're sad, though. And hopefully it'll also remind us what we can work on so that we can see the world more clearly. Seven things. We'll go quickly. I don't want to go over time. Seven things. Number one. Excuse me. Number one. When you turned 12 or 13, when a woman turns 12, when a guy turns 13, they become a bat mitzvah or a bar mitzvah. What does that mean? What does it mean to be the daughter of a mitzvah? What does it mean to be the bar also? What does it mean to be the son of a mitzvah? So perhaps one can suggest that that term, bat mitzvah, bar mitzvah, is intended to teach us something about our relationship with mitzvos in general. And that is, I love my parents. I respect my parents. I want to see them and gain from them all the time. And when I'm not with them, I feel homesick. I miss them. That is our relationship with mitzvos. We only want to do more mitzvos. That's what we do. We teach that. We've been taught that by our parents, our teachers, in camps, in schools. We want to do mitzvos, period. This is the easiest one. I made a list. I got a list of all 613 mitzvos. And I took a tally of how many mitzvos are connected to the Beis HaMikdash that I and you cannot do because there's no Beis HaMikdash today. I'll tell you the number that I came up with. People could disagree because depending on how you count whether it's related to the mitzvah, to the Beis HaMikdash, some mitzvos are directly connected to the Beis HaMikdash, like korbanos. Some are not directly, but are indirectly, like having a Sanhedrin. You can only have a Sanhedrin when there's a Mizbeach, when there's a Beis HaMikdash, so it's indirectly related. Collecting Machatzis HaShekel is related to the Beis HaMikdash. 272 mitzvos you are not doing today because there's no Beis HaMikdash. Almost 45% of all mitzvos. I started by saying I'm happy without the Beis HaMikdash. Really? You're happy about the Beis HaMikdash. You just had finals in school, a lot of you. You're studying for a final exam, working really hard. You come into class, the teacher comes over to you, gives the final exam. There's 20 questions. Got it, 20 questions. The teacher comes over to you and says, excuse me, you can only do 10 of them. What do you mean I can only do 10? That's not fair. I can only do 10 of them? You're telling me the highest grade I can get is a 50. And the teacher goes, well, yeah, if you get them all right. You're not getting higher. So we're all fine with that. Everyone's happy with that. All I want to do is mitzvos, but I'm happy with 272 mitzvos. Yeah, we're fine. I'll work on these. You are playing, we all are playing on a seesaw. The seesaw was made in 1972. It needs oil and a paint job. And you are playing on a seesaw in the shadow of Disney World. And someone goes over to you, come on in, there's Disney World. No, I'm happy. On a seesaw from 1972. It's like me without my glasses. If I only picked up my head for a second, I see Disney World over there. I don't need a seesaw. There's Taryag Mitzvos. And none of us have tasted almost 50% of them. So when I cry for the Beis HaMikdash, I should talk in past tense, when we used to cry, Yemir Tzashem, when we used to cry for the Beis HaMikdash, and that's the first source on the page, number one. I'm not going to read through everything, but the first source, the Mishnah Maseches Makos, Rabbi Chanan ben Akashi Omer, Ratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do, give us things, merit, zechuyos. Lefichach hirba lahem Torah mitzvos. This is what he has for us. No, I'm fine. Thank you, God. I'll get a 50 on the test. Excuse me, ladies. I'm not getting a 50. I'm pushing for more. And that's number one. And I think so are you. Number two. Number two is related to number one. And I'm sitting in a room now full of people who do not need to be here. Why are you here? You're here because you're thirsty for Torah. It's a beautiful thing. It's inspirational for people like me, and me and people like me. If you're thirsty for Torah, then you're also thirsty for the Beis HaMikdash. You're thirsty for the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam. Take a look at the Rambam, the second source. The Rambam in Hilchos Melachim U'Milchamos. I have him a lot. The Rambam talks a lot about this. It's the very last set of halachos in all of Mishnah Torah. The Rambam says, Lo nisavu, nisavu from the word ta'ava, taiva. Lo nisavu chachamim v'anevim limos ha-mashiach. The chachamim and nevim didn't desire Mashiach. Lo kedei she'ishlutu al kol ha'olam. They didn't want to just rule the world. V'lo kedei she'yirdu be'akum. They didn't want to just punish overpower Gentiles. V'lo kedei she'yinasu osam ha'amim. They didn't do it for glory. V'lo kedei le'echol v'lishtos v'lismoach. Ela kedei she'yihiyu pnuyim b'torah v'chachmasa. Beis HaMikdash means more Torah. Those of you who already daven Mincha know, and you daven Shacharis, and every single time you daven, you go down a little bit towards the top of the page. I skip the Rambam. Every single time you finish davening, what's the first thing you say? You say, Yihi ratzal milpanach Hashem elokeinu melech avinu. She'yibana Beis HaMikdash. Here we go again. Somebody seems to care about us wanting the Beis HaMikdash. And what's the very next thing? The same Chalkeinu B'Sarasecha. What's the connection? The connection is the next source down. The connection is the Vilna Gaon. I mean, the Vilna Gaon explains it. The Vilna Gaon died in 1797. The Vilna Gaon explains that at the end of Shmon Esrei. She'ibana Beis HaMikdash, the same Chalkeinu B'Sarasecha. What's the connection? The connection is this Pasuk in Eicha, which we read last year on Tisha B'Av. The Eicha says in Perek Beis, Pasuk Tes, I'm going to read the middle of the Pasuk, Malka Visareha Vagoyim Ein Torah. There is no, her leaders and her princes are among the Gentiles, they're not in Jerusalem. Ein Torah. So some of Farshim explain Ein Torah from the word lehorot. Of course, Torah means lehorot also. It's very hard to get teaching, it's very hard to get advice, it's very hard to get direction without the Beis HaMikdash. But the Vilna Gaon says, no, Torah means Torah. Torah means that you are learning Torah as much as we love the Beis Medrash, and we love learning Torah. You and I, here we go with glasses again, we are learning Torah with foggy glasses. Some people say foggy. With foggy glasses. Those of us who wear glasses know what it's like to go from a humid day, you walk inside to air conditioning, and boom, you're literally blinded. You can barely see anybody. You got, oh man, first thing you do is remember, oh, I should get contacts. We are learning Torah with foggy glasses. The Vilna Gaon says that there's no chidushim unless the Beis HaMikdash is around. And there's more to say, and I'm not going to go through all the sources, but that is reason number two. Reason number one is I want mitzvos. I don't want to be cheated. And number two is you want Torah, you love Torah. When you get a new phone, the phone comes with an instruction manual. Or not anymore. Maybe it's digital. Okay. Some people, there's two kinds of people in the world. Some people take the instruction manual and throw it away. Like, I'll figure it out. I am not that personality. I'm a little bit crazy. I read it. I don't read like the FCC requirements and like, I also know not to leave it in my car. Okay, I get that. But why do you read instruction manual? Well, first of all, I want to protect my phone. And it tells me the best way to protect my phone. But more than that, I want to be able to maximize all the features that my phone has, right? I don't want to be driving a Lamborghini at 25 miles an hour. You know what a Lamborghini is, right? I've got a nice phone, let's use it. Well, when you were created, when the world was created, there was also an instruction manual. It's called the Torah. And the Torah tells me how to live. Not only how to protect myself, but also how to really live. How to really be happy. How to truly live in this world and the next. Why wouldn't I want to maximize that? I'm happy with my Torah. Is there anybody here, if I said to you, I know some of you are going into different grades here, going into 11th, maybe 12th, maybe past 12th, maybe college. No, all of you are going into third grade. I don't want to go to third grade. I want to go to seminary. I want to go to college. I want to go to yeshiva. No, you're going to third grade. The answer is, we're in third grade. And that's, I'm paraphrasing, that's the Vilna Gaon talking. So reason number two is Torah. I want to put on clear glasses and learn more Torah. And I want to get closer to our Kadosh Baruch Hu through the Torah. And that's reason number two. Reason number three, I'm going a little quickly, but I know I don't want to go over time. Reason number three. Why we're mourning today? For the Beis HaMikdash and for Mashiach. I'm happy, not so happy. I'm missing mitzvos, I'm missing Torah. Number three. This is going to be hard for most of us to absorb. It's hard for me. So I'm going to try to explain it for myself as clearly as I can. Mitzvah Hashem, every one of you is going to get married one day. Amen. And imagine if your spouse says to you, I love flowers. And I can't imagine a Shabbos table without flowers. What's the first thing you're going to do? This is not a trick question. You go get flowers. Someone who you love is telling you what you can do to make them happy. I will go get flowers. And if you can't get flowers, you're going to apologize 37 times. I wish, but I couldn't. They didn't have. They ran out. I'm so sorry. I'll get you two next ones. But at least there's this communication. You asked me for flowers. Of course I'm going to get you flowers. Imagine if your husband says to you, I love flowers, and you say, great, so I'm going to buy Kugel for Shabbos. What? No, you didn't. I love flowers. Oh my gosh, amazing. So I'll get two challahs because we already have. What? I said flowers. Oh, amazing. So I'll make a salad. Okay. It's ridiculous. Silly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us again and again and again and again how he wants us to serve him. And it's through Korbanos. And it's through the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash. And it's through the Mizbeach. And it's through both the Mizbeach, inside and outside. And the Menorah. And the Shulchan. And the Kohanim. And the Levim. And all the Menachos. And I go, great God, I'll daven. No, but I said I want you to serve me in the Beis HaMikdash. You got it, God. Three times a day I'll daven. What does the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that every one of us knows? The problem is we only know two-thirds of the Mishnah because we kind of have a blind spot. Al shlosha dvarim ha'olam omed. The Mishnah, I know I'm skipping a little bit. Al shlosha dvarim, at the very bottom of the first page. Al shlosha dvarim ha'olam omed. Shlosh, very bottom of the page. Shlosha is three, correct? All right. Number one, Al HaTorah. I get that. I already talked about that. Al Gemilus Chasadim. I get that. I want to do. Wait, I skipped one. No. It's two things that the world is. What do you mean two? Al Shlosha Dvarim HaOlam Omer. It's not politically correct to talk about the middle one. Avoda. What does Avoda mean? So turn to the top of the next page. Take a look at the Bartanura. Reish Ayin Beis stands for Rav Ovadia Bartanura, one of the most important mefarshim on the Mishnah. He died in 1515. The Bartanura tells us, you'll see it right there. Al HaTorah, we understand. Gemilut Chasadim, I understand. The middle one is Avoda. It's black on white. Korbanos. That is the way the Bartanura explains this Mishnah. The Rambam explains the Mishnah in the same way. Rabbeinu Yonah explains it in the same way. The Meiri explains it in the same way. The Maharal explains it in the same way. The Vilna Gaon, these are pretty big people. I want korbanos, three things in the world. Good God, I'll do Torah, I'll give you those chasadim. But I want korbanos also. I want the Mizbeach also. Now I understand, because even though I'm older than you, I also don't remember a time when we had the Beis HaMikdash. So I also don't appreciate animals, especially when they're not alive. I also don't know fully, honestly, how I'm going to get close to God through korbanos. I understand that. But I can't argue with what the Torah says. I can't argue with what the Torah says. As a matter of fact, if you go back a little bit to the first page, I skipped it, but I'll come back to it. The Rama, towards the top of the first page, the Rama, Rav Moshe Isserle, says in Aruch Chaim, in Siman Kuf Chaf Gimel, Seif Aleph, V'nahagu lomar achar kach, after you finish Shmona Esrei, you say, Yihi ratzon sheibana beis hamikdash, etc. Why? Ki atzfila binkom ha'avoda. We know that. You learn that in school. Tzfila is only a substitute teacher. V'lachem nevakshim ala mikdash, Shenuchal la'asos avoda mamish. The Rama, avoda mamish, is the korbanos. I'm sorry if it's not a convenient statement to make. I'm sorry if I, and maybe you, cannot appreciate korbanos. I can't either. But if you've ever spoken to a Baal Tshuva, and you tell them, you know, in my house, when we eat something, we have to figure out if it's meat or dairy, and then we have forks that are meat. We also have separate forks that are dairy, and depending on. And then you got to wait 6 hours or 3 hours, or if you're lucky and you marry a Dutch guy, you wait 1 hour. Amazing. The person who's not used to it will say, that's got to be the craziest thing. You think, how am I supposed to? And yet, most of us, second nature. Ladies, long before your child is lacing up her shoes on Tisha B'Av, we're going to be used to the Beis HaMikdash. So again, why am I crying over the Beis HaMikdash? Yes, mitzvos, yes, Torah, and yes, I am unable. I am in handcuffs to serve the God that I love in the way that He wants me to serve Him. That's sad. That's sad to not be able to serve God the way He asked me. Number three was korbanos. To have a closer connection through Torah, through mitzvos, through Torah, and also through korbanos, serving God the way I want. Back to page two. Now we're up to number four. Questions so far? Number four, yeah.
I just don't understand how three is really so applicable if it's not our choice when, like, Mashiach or Mizrach is coming.
None of this is our choice. None of this is our choice. It's just I'm sad. I'm sad that I can't do something. When my wife asks me for flowers and I can't get to it on time, I'm not going to say, you know, suffer. I'm going to say, I'm sorry, 100 times. I know you want, but when I mourn for the Beis HaMikdash, I'm sorry. I want to serve God in the way you asked me. I can't do it right now. So you're right, I wish. I'm trying to put on glasses to say, what am I missing? And we're happy with our korbanos, but I'm trying to shine a spotlight and say, why are we happy without korbanos? That's what I meant to say. Number four. The word shachein means a neighbor. And that's why shchuna means a neighborhood. It's a lot of neighbors. But really, shachein doesn't just mean a neighbor. Shachein really means a neighbor that impacts me and that I impact them. That's why, for example, we talk about a shachein tov or a shachein ra. What do I care what my neighbor's doing? I care because he impacts me and I impact them. Harchek mi shachein ra. So a shachein doesn't just mean somebody that I'm next to, but somebody that influences me and vice versa. That's what the Shekhinah is. The Shekhinah, God is God. God is omniscient, God is omnipotent. But when I talk about the Shekhinah, I talk about God being a part of my life, influencing me. Not abstractly, but practically, tangibly. And I know that this sounds a little bit fluffy, but don't blame me. If you call it fluffy, you're calling the Torah fluffy. You're calling Chazal fluffy, chas v'shalom. Why? Because the Torah tells us, look at the next source. It's the top of page 2. The Torah tells us in Parshas Truma, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know this pasuk, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to build the Mishkan, which was the portable Beis HaMikdash, he says, V'asuli Mikdash ve'shachanti besocham. I want to be a part of you. I want to dwell among you. I'm already here. I don't need the Mishkan. But I want to dwell with you. And that's exactly what happens. V'shachanti besocham. The next source is the Medrash Tanchuma, which says that as soon as the Mishkan was built, Kevan shegamru meleches haMishkan, hayu yoshvin umitzapin, they waited and they yearned. Eimasai tavo shchina v'tishra bo. That's all we want, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be here, to feel God in my life, in my community, my family life, my communal life, my national life. When the Beis HaMikdash is built, when Mashiach comes, the Shekhinah is part of our lives. More. The Shekhinah is here sometimes. A healthy marriage has the Shekhinah. When you daven Shemon Esrei, there's a Shekhinah. A lot of examples of Shekhinah. But to permeate the world, to permeate when I go to the supermarket, and when I go to the office, and when I go to work and school, and the Shekhinah is there, who doesn't want that? And as a matter of fact, go to the middle of the page, I'm skipping a little bit, that's what happens. What happens in Parashas Pekudei, the very end of Parashas Pekudei in Perek Mem, it's the end of Sefer Shmos, Vayechal, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Vayechal Moshe es HaMelacha, Vayechas He'anan es Olmoed, Uchvod Hashem, Malei es HaMishkan. That's what happened. And when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, when the Kabbalah and Hasidim talk about the Shekhinah being in Galus. Shekhinta b'Galusa. What does that mean? God doesn't exist? Chas v'shalom. God doesn't exist when there's no Beis HaMikdash? God forbid, there's no such thing. Seeing God, so to speak. Tangibly having a part of our lives. Imagine being married, Rahmanul Islam, God forbid, not on anybody, being married to someone who you love, who you never see. Talk on the phone once in a while. Happened a lot this past year. People were stuck in different countries because they had to travel. Now, you go to that woman, God forbid, who's happily married, loves her husband, and she hasn't seen her husband for 2,000 years. And I say to her, why do you miss your husband? What would she say to me? Get out of my house. Why do you miss your husband? That's a question. It's almost as if the question that I started the whole shiur with is a foolish question. Why do you miss the Beis HaMikdash? Why do you miss your husband? You don't want to be with your husband, or you don't want to live with him and live your life with him, and everything you do, he's a part of your life and you're a part of his, and you grow with him and he grows with you. And that even when you're in the office, you're thinking of your husband, and when are you going to see him again, and the meeting's over, I'm going to call him for a second. Is there anybody, some of you, most of you are not married, but you know what marriage is, I imagine, and a healthy marriage, in Mitzvah Shem. So that's the Shekhinah. I'm happy with it, but without the Beis HaMikdash. Sounds a little bit silly once we understand that the Shekhinah is in Galus. It means that he's not, I don't feel him, he's not a part of my life. I try to make him such. That's my goal, but I don't even wear glasses. I don't even understand what that means. And the minute the Beis HaMikdash is built, and the minute Mashiach comes, we are going to laugh at this shir. That the question isn't even, why do you miss your husband? And that's number 4. Number 4, in the middle of the page, there's a medrash, which I do want to, you may know this, these expressions, but the Medrash Tanhuma is a pretty well-known Medrash. A lot of, again, Hasidim and Kabbalists, and I'm not either of those yet, but we're all working on it, I suppose. The Medrash Tanhuma says, Amar Shmuel Bar Nachman, B'shah Shebarak HaKadosh Baruch Hu Esa Olam Nis'aveh, that's the same word again, Taiva, Sheyehelo, here's the two words, Dira B'tachtonim. Elyonim, Tachtonim. He wanted a Dira B'tachtonim K'mo Sheyesh V'Elyonim. God wanted, and these are words that you should remember, he wanted a Dira B'tachtonim. He wanted a dwelling place here. That's what I'm talking about. Your husband wants to live with you. All HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need this world, but he created the world because he wants to be here. And we kicked him out. And now we not only kicked out the husband that we love, now we're asking why we even miss him in the first place. And that's powerful. And when we cried last Asar B'Teves and Tzom Gedalia and Tisha B'Av and Shivasa B'Tammuz, that's what we were crying about. Number four. Number four is the Shechina. The Shechina is in Galus. That's number four. Okay, number five. Number five goes like this. When we daven, the Torah says, no, I'm sorry, the Siddur. Source number five, middle of page two. Ritzei, this is Nisach Ashkenaz, I'm sorry if not Nisach Ashkenaz, but it's very similar. Ritzei, Hashem Elokeinu, B'amcha Yisrael, O'bisfilasam. V'yashevez ha'avodah lidvir beisacha. You just said that at Mincha. We want the avoda. Okay, that was from before. V'yishay Yisrael, O'sfilasam b'yavas ha'kabel, b'ratzon. We want the HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept our tzfilos b'ratzon. And there's a lot of other examples. Yihiyu l'ratzon. Imrefi, the next source down. It's a pasuk in Tehillim that we say when we finish davening. Yihiyu l'ratzon imrefi ve'egyon libi lefanecha. The things that I say, the things that I thought, I want them to be l'ratzon. Sometimes when someone's finished davening, I say to them, I hope your tefillos are answered b'ratzon. What does b'ratzon mean? We say it all the time. Yihiyu l'ratzon. So I want to share an answer from Rabbi Soloveitchik, died in 1993. And this is number five. We're up to number five, correct? Mm-hmm. Yes. Rabbi Soloveitchik, when he was younger, lived in Eastern Europe. And his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, was invited to come to New York to be the Rosh Yeshiva of YU. And he went. And Rabbi Soloveitchik says, this is found in the Sefer called Mipnei HaRav, it might be here. Mipnei HaRav is written by Rav Herschel Schechter, on page 36 in Mipnei HaRav. Rabbi Soloveitchik said that when his father left for New York, so the goal was, he goes to New York, if it works, he sends for the rest of the family and they'll come with him. Rabbi Soloveitchik was about 19, 20, 21, a lot of you were that age, and Rabbi Soloveitchik says that when my father left, he says he davened and davened and davened that his father should fail in New York so that he'll come back and we can stay here. He's learning well, beautiful chavrusas, beautiful rebbeim, wonderful Torah. And then Rabbi Soloveitchik said, after we found out what happened in the Holocaust, and after I see how well I'm learning Torah in New York, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, I am glad that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not answer my tefillos. And that's what we say at the end of Shemoneh Esrei every single time we daven. I daven for Rifa'enu and Barech Aleinu and Shema Koleinu, everything. But ultimately, I say what I want is really what you want. Yihiyu l'ratzon. It should be your will, God, not mine. If I got everything I wanted, I wouldn't be here. Because I don't know, I think I know, and that's why I daven, but I don't really know everything that's best for me. I want you, God, to really make that decision. Yes? And this is number five. If there is anybody in this room, well, I'll say it differently. Everybody in this room, and I'm in this room also, everybody in this room has at one time or another not known, not know what to do about a certain decision we had to make. Which high school to go to, which yeshiva, which seminary to go to, which college to go to, date this person, not date this person, marry this person, not marry this person, take this job, not take this job. We're just stymied. And all we want is Ritzon Hashem. God, just tell me what you want. And he doesn't always tell us what he wants. And this is number 5. If you've ever been confused, if you've ever been challenged, if you've ever cried because you just want to know what God wants, then that means you were crying for the Beis HaMikdash. Because that, the Beis HaMikdash, brings with it clarity. And I'm not going to quote them inside, but take a look at the Rambam towards the bottom of the page. The Rambam talks about Nevuah. The Mashiach himself is going to be a Navi. There's going to be Nevuah in the world. Ruach HaKodesh in the world. Sanhedrin, as I mentioned before, is going to be there and clarify what God wants. Urim V'Tumim. The whole world is going to be filled, as a matter of fact. Take a look at the Pasuk towards the bottom of the page. It's actually the second to last Pasuk. In Yeshayahu Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Tes. Lo Yareyu V'Lo Yashchisu B'chol HaRkachi. They're not going to hurt. No one's going to be hurt. I'll talk about that in a few minutes. Ki mal'a ha'aretz de'a es Hashem. Kamayim layam nechasim. De'a, knowledge of God, what he wants. I can't imagine there's a single person in this room that hasn't paced back and forth and asked a million questions. God, just tell me what you want. If you were like that, then you've already cried for the Beis HaMikdash. You didn't even realize you were missing the Beis HaMikdash. And that's number 5. So we want more mitzvos. We want more Torah. We want a closer connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the avoda of korbanos. We want the Shechina. We want God in our lives. And we want clarity. That's number 5. Number 6, turn the page, top of page 3. Number 6 starts with a pasuk from the very, very beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. I will share with you that to me, I think numbers 6 and 7 are the most relatable for most of us. Number 6. Very beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, the Torah tells us that we have to divide into flags. Every sheva gets a flag. Colors, unique design that represent certain characteristics that each sheva has. You have to know where you march. Some people will march on the east, west, north, south, where you camp. Who's near the Mishkan, who's farther away. When did that command happen? So the Torah tells us, the first pasuk in all of Sefer Bamidbar. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'yom moed, be'echad lachodesh hasheni, rosh chodesh iyar, right? Nisan iyar, bashana hashenis. Let's say Sam Meretz Mitzrayim, you know. The command to have flags is 13 months. No, that's not true. No, I'm sorry. It's 12 months and a half, because it was from Tetvav Nisan to Rosh Chodesh Iyar, right? 12 months and 15 days after Tetvav Mitzrayim. And the question is why? You leave Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, get the flags. Maybe you'll say, okay, let's at least get the Torah. 7 weeks and one day, we should get the flags. Why were the flags more than a year later? Yes, the question? Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was the Rosh Hashiva of Torah Vadas. He died in 1986. 1986 was a bad year for Gedolim. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky died in 1986. Rav Moshe Feinstein died in 1986. And Rav Yaakov Kanievsky, Rav Chaim Kanievsky's father, also in 1986. Anyway, so it's a mnemonic device. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Oh, Rebecca Kamenetsky wrote a many svarim called MS Yaakov, and on Parshas Bamidbar he says the following gorgeous idea, and this is going to be number 6. Dividing Bnei Yisrael into flags has the potential of real division, of real color war. Because now that I have a flag with my colors, color war, and my design, I can easily say that my shevet's more important than yours, bigger than yours, better than yours. I march here and you march there. I camp here, you camp there. I'm better than you. And that's a terrible thing. So says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to first give us the Mishkan. It took a year to build the Mishkan. We got the command to build the Mishkan, we built the Mishkan. And only after the Mishkan was built, only after we had a centralizing force, only after we had something that we could all focus on and work for and work towards, then and only then could we divide. You take, you're in Yisachar, and you're in Dan, and you're in Levi, but it had to first have the Mishkan / Mikdash in the middle. And a baseball team. The catcher and the pitcher are not, they don't fight. Even though one's a catcher and one's a pitcher. Why not? Because they're wearing the same uniform. I need you, and you need me. But I only need you if you're on my team. I don't need you if you're my enemy. If I'm better than you, I don't need you. If you're better than me, I don't need you. You don't need me. But if you've got strengths that I need, and I have strengths that you need, and together we can do something good, that's when it's okay to recognize, that's when we recognize each other's strengths and weaknesses. Number 6. The Beis HaMikdash is a unifying force. Achdus. If you have ever cried over lack of achdus, we have forgotten that we're on the same team. Do you know that there are Jews? There was a rally yesterday against anti-Semitism in New York. Do you know that? There was a rally in New York. There were Jews. You think I'm joking. There were Jews protesting together with Arabs. Any of you who are from New York, remember the Israel Day Parade? Israel Day Parade? They're people who rally against Israel. And it's easy to point fingers and say they're wrong. But we all point fingers at people who are wrong. Anybody who is less religious than me is lazy. Anybody who's more religious than me is a fanatic. I am the only one who knows how to serve God, and therefore, everyone else is wrong. And I'm right, my few friends, everyone else is wrong. Is that true? It's outrageous. But we all think it a little bit. And that's a problem with Achdus. If you've ever recognized that there's disparity among Klal Yisrael. How could there be disparity among brothers and sisters? How can you call a Jew a stranger? How can you call a Jew better? You want to judge another Jew? Let God do the judging. I don't care what you wear on your head or don't wear on your head. I don't care what you wear on your elbows or not on your elbows. You're a Jew. Let God talk about it. Let God in charge of that. We are a team. And if you have ever mourned over a lack of achdus, then that means that you've mourned over the Beis HaMikdash. And that, and I have sources, but the time is really flying. That is number 6. Number 6 is the lack of achdus, lack of appreciation of other Jews, lack of appreciation that for crying out loud, we're on the same team. We're all rowing in the same direction. And if that doesn't resonate, I'm fine without the Beis HaMikdash. I'm happy with Jew versus Jew. I'm happy pointing fingers and saying I'm better than you. And you pointing fingers at me saying you're better than me. You're not on my team. You're not welcome in my shul. If that bothers you, then that means the Beis HaMikdash is bothering you. There's lack of Beis HaMikdash is bothering you. And that's number 6. And number 7 is what I thought of first when I started thinking of this year. The first thing. And there's no time, but I don't really need any time to say this. In the days of Mashiach, and there's sources and psukim and rambams, and I'm not going to go through them, but they're all in front of you. There's no anti-Semitism. Quite a hot topic nowadays. There's no anti-Semitism in the days of Mashiach. A Jew can walk in the street and not be afraid to wear a yarmulke or a skirt or a Jewish star. I spent Shabbos in Baltimore. There were swastikas on the, just now, it happened on Friday, swastikas on the cemetery. No, but I'm happy without Mashiach. I don't need Mashiach. I'm fine with the swastikas. Has anyone ever been to Har Herzl? What's Har Herzl? The largest military cemetery? You're not crying over a Jew your age killed al Kiddush Hashem? You're not crying over that loss of life? I'm happy now, Mashiach. I don't need Mashiach. I've got my Pashkiz candy. I've got all the shuls I need. You have a dead boy lying in a grave in Har Herzl. That doesn't bother you? That's not a problem? Mashiach comes. No more Shibud Malchios. They're going to come to us. There's Gemaras after Gemaras. They're going to beg to be accepted into the Jewish people. We're going to be, not, we don't need to be the kings and queens, but we don't need to be stabbed walking to go daven at the Kotel either. Bombs on buses, I'm fine with that. No, I can live with that. This is Mashiach we're talking about. And look at the Rambam. And look at the psukim that I have there. There was a small event that happened a few years ago called the Holocaust. Nobody cares about the Holocaust. Yeah, I'm fine, Mashiach. I don't need Mashiach. Pogroms, crusades. If you've ever cried for a Jew who was injured, for a Jew who was orphaned by a bomb, by a Jew who lost his legs or her eyesight, if you cried for her, you cried for Mashiach. You cried for the Beis HaMikdash. And that's number 7. And so we have 7 things that I'm suggesting, recommending, that we think about when we are missing the Beis HaMikdash. Let's not be too happy when things are not supposed to be yet happy. We're missing mitzvos. And we're missing Torah. And we're missing one of the 3 pillars of the world. We've got so much Torah. We've got so much Gemilus Chasadim. And other than a substitute called Tefillah, we have no Avodah. And we want the Shechina to dwell among us, to be a part of our lives. We don't want our husband or wife thousands of miles away. We want them with us. And this ambiguity, we've cried because we don't know what to do. We want clarity. And Achdus, no one cries over Achdus. Being together, being loving every Jew, appreciating every Jew. And number 7, of course, is the easiest and the hardest at the same time. Anti-Semitism is the topic right now. And that's the 7 things. And I'd like to end with a story that some of you have heard, but a story that is not worth telling, a story that is not worth hearing twice, is not worth telling once. So I'm going to share the following story with you. There is the Munkacher Rebbe, Rav Elazar Spira, S-P-I-R-A, wrote a sefer called the Minchas Elazar, so he's called the Minchas Elazar. He died in 1937. And for a time in his life, he lived with his children and grandchildren. And the story goes like this. Gorgeous story, and with this we'll end. The story goes like this. He was the Munkacher Rebbe. I said that. The Munkacher Rebbe. The Munkacher Rebbe came home from Shul on Rosh Chodesh Elul. So you know that we blow the shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul. Every day of Elul. Not Shabbos. It's a minhag. It's not a halacha. It's a minhag. So he came home from Shul, talis in one hand, shofar in the other. He blew the shofar for the Shul. He's the Munkacher Rebbe. And he lived with his children, grandchildren. His little grandson comes over and says, Zaidi, What's that in your hand? It's a shofar. We blow the shofar in Elul.
So the boy goes, Zadie, Zadie, blow the shofar for me.
Oh, of course. Puts his talisman filling down, picks up the shofar. Do, 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 do. The kid is in seventh heaven. It's amazing. Gewaldig. The next day, comes home from shul, talisman filling in one hand, shofar in the other. The kid goes, Zadie, again? Oh my gosh, again, of course. Every day we blow the shofar. Blow the shofar for me, Zadie. Of course. Dude, puts the talisman filling down. The kid is in seventh heaven. Amazing. Gewaldig. Day after day after day. Every day he comes home. Zadie, blow the shofar for me. Of course. And then comes Erev Rosh Hashanah. Erev Rosh Hashanah, we do not blow the shofar. There's Kabbalistic reasons. There's halachic reasons. Basically, we want to differentiate between shofar that's a halacha, minat Torah that we blow on Rosh Hashanah, and the minhag. So we don't blow on Erev Rosh Hashanah. He comes home from shul. Tiles and tefillin in one hand. Nothing in the other. This little kid goes, Zadie, he's used to it. He's been hearing the shofar for so many days. Zadie, blow the shofar. Oh no. We don't blow the shofar in Erev Rosh Hashanah. We don't blow the Erev Rosh Hashanah. Zadie, blow the shofar. We don't blow the shofar in Erev Rosh Hashanah. The kid starts crying. Zadie! What a great story that you cried, you don't hear the shofar. Oh, that's already, that's the whole shiur right there. Zadie, blow the shofar. We don't blow the shofar. Mrs. Spira, Rebbetzin Spira, the Munkacha Rebbetzin, comes out. What's going on here? What's going on? I'm impersonating the Munkacha Rebbe. I don't know how it's sounded. What's going on? I'm not blowing the shofar. I'm not blowing the shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah. But she goes, but he's crying. His heart breaks. Goes to the drawer, pulls out the shofar. Erev Rosh Hashanah. You don't blow the shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Takes out the shofar. The kid stops crying. He's ecstatic. And that's the end of the story. Until the next day. The next day is Rosh Hashanah. Shacharis, Kriyas HaTorah, Haf Torah, and then all of Munkach comes around to hear the Rebbe blow the shofar. They're all there. Ready to go. He's got the kittel on. Heaven. He's about to blow the shofar. And he puts it down on the bima. No one knows what's going on. He turns around and he walks to the Aron Kodesh. What's going on? He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have a confession to make. Out loud. I have a confession to make. Yesterday was Erev Rosh Hashanah. You're not supposed to blow the shofar in Erev Rosh Hashanah. But I blew the shofar anyway. I wasn't supposed to blow the shofar. It was the wrong time to blow the shofar. But I had no choice. Because a Jewish child was crying. So I had to stop the Jewish child from crying. So I blew the shofar. And indeed, the cries were stopped. And then the Munkach Rebbe says, and you too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It may be the wrong time. And maybe you're not supposed to. But your children are crying. Teka b'shofar gadol l'cheruseinu. Please, God, we're crying. And all we want, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the Torah and the mitzvot and the Shekhinah and the clarity and the connection with you and the achdus and God forbid, no more dying, no more bloodshed. All we want is long before Tisha B'Av to be able to dance with the building of the Beis HaMikdash and the coming of Mashiach. Have a nice day, guys.